Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Milwaukee. Good morning, Wisconsin. Sunny and mild. I love those terms in the forecast. Lots of sunshine. Get outside today and enjoy it. And forecast looks great heading into the great Milwaukee and Wisconsin weekend. We're all business all the time here on the Wednesday show, showcasing business stories from in and around greater Milwaukee and across the state. We're celebrating the possible here each and every day on the Upswing. So I do think, even though it's Mark Cass's last several days as editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, I think there's going to be a way for us to keep him around. Officially, Mark, your last day at the Business Journal is next Wednesday, correct? Okay, so the smart, creative team here at the show and the station, we're going to find a way to continue our conversations with you. I know.
I'm going to get that raise I finally wanted.
That's right.
From zero to zero, so it's
indeed.
Awesome.
We're just getting started.
Just getting negotiations going here.
But I will say, Mark, we've known each other for years, and I've always enjoyed your insights and truly appreciate your commitment to the community.
Thank you.
You know, whether you're a member of the media or not, you know, those that get off the sidelines and really create change and make impact. It's so important in our community. So thank you for all you do. This isn't a goodbye segment at all.
I was gonna say, I hope not.
I will tease it a little bit because next Wednesday in your new role at Team Lammy, hopefully the stars all align and I'm hoping to have you and your, I can call him your boss.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, colleague.
Nobody really is my boss.
That's right.
People tell you that.
Nobody is my boss. But Brian Lammy and Mark Cass will join us here on the Upswing next Wednesday. Brian's the founder and CEO at Team Lammy and a nationally known sports marketer and agent. So next Wednesday, I can guarantee you Mark will be back on the show with Brian Lammy. We'll discuss the upcoming business around the 2024 Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We'll talk about what's new in sports sponsorship space and a whole lot more. So that's next Wednesday, the 17th. So up first in our headline hunt of businesses today, the New York Times is weighing in on the MKERNC. What are you hearing on this story, Mark? Only got a minute. We'll go to break and then we'll come back.
Yeah, very interesting because I think the people kind of expected to hear a lot more about the RNC. We're already in April, right? We're 100 days away.
Yeah,
we're a month and a half out.
Yeah.
You know, kind of what's going to happen. And they just haven't seen the activity they thought. We haven't seen the contracts we thought. You know, things move quicker in 2020. Because think back to 2020, we were already shut down. Because obviously March is when it shut down. And there were a lot of things happening. So I think there's some concern there. We'll talk about it more. But hopefully we'll see things moving in the next couple of weeks, but right now I'm just hearing a lot of questions.
Yeah, like you said, we're 100 days out, you know, at 3.5 months. And while Milwaukee isn't Chicago, you can't really compare apples to apples there. But when we check in, we come back from the break, we're going to see what's happening in the event, restaurant, and venues booking spaces. A lot of locals weighing in to the New York Times, talking Dan, Birch, The Rave, Loopy and Iris, the MSO, Central Standard. They kind of all weighed in with what they're hearing and what's happening. So when we come back after the break, we'll continue our discussion with Mark Cass, the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, all business, all the time, with the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, Mark Cass. Mark, thanks for joining us, as always. So in Milwaukee, restaurants and venues worry of seeing limited RNC boost. Is there just, like I said before the break, you can't really compare what's happening in Chicago to Milwaukee. You know, different, totally different economies,
different size, different infrastructure.
Yeah, and you had a figure on in terms of how many hotels. Yeah.
You know, something I heard yesterday as I kind of talked to people who involved the RNC in Chicago for the upcoming convention, all their people are staying in 8 hotels. In Milwaukee, it's over 100 hotels. Because remember, they're staying all the way from Kenosha up to Madison in Lake Geneva and the north through Sheboygan. You know, so they're all over the place. So you're going to see some of this economic impact, not only here in Milwaukee, because remember, I mean, quite a few of these groups are at their hotels in the morning, have events at the hotels, have events at restaurants and things in the morning, and then come downtown to Milwaukee. Yeah. So you're going to see some of this economic impact in Sheboygan, in out in Madison, in Mequon, you know, where all these hotels are.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. I also think it's just slower this time. In 2020, for whatever reason, a lot of these places were already grabbed up. There was more kind of things happening. Now, from what we heard from the RNC over the past 24 hours, is that over the next few weeks, you're really going to see this pick up. The hotels were assigned about a week ago, so they all know now where they're staying. So now it's a matter of, okay, what kind of events are we going to have? Where are they going to have them? I'm surprised at some of the large places that aren't booked up,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the Art Museum, whether it's some of these other places that are right around the security zone. You just don't see it yet. Now, hopefully it'll happen.
Right.
You're starting to see some, like Omar here at the Third Ward. I'm sorry, at the Third Street Food Hall says he has a group, hopes to have more. The MSO has a group. So they're starting to slowly fill up, but not at the pace. And, you know, I think there's just the unknown is the worst thing because you have to plan.
Right.
You can't just say, okay, on the 3rd of July, I'm getting a group in a week. You got to buy the food, order everything, have the staffing in place, which is a real concern still, for having enough staff for these places. So that's going to be interesting to see how that matches up. Because at one point, remember, Jeff, I remember this, there was actually some kind of talk about hospitality workers being asked from Chicago to spend time in Milwaukee that week, and then some of our workers spending time in Chicago kind of later in August. So maybe that's not necessary.
Yeah. Well, the vendors are going to have to prepare with staffing. They're going to have to prepare with, you know, what's their cost structure look like. And
yep.
You can't just book things at last minute. But at the same time, there's a lot of competition for these events,
there
too.
Is.
So maybe some of the bigger venues aren't exactly saying who is coming in because they want to be somewhat territorial.
No doubt. And I also think you're going to have to see some kind of maybe some of the stuff I've heard is high prices. People are going for the sky.
Yeah.
You know, this is their chance.
Right,
this is the chance. They have this country. We're going to ask 100,000 for one night, and the groups are saying, well, no, because I have other options.
Yeah.
Because so I think that's going to happen. I also think we're not going to see as many of the other people. I say other people. We're going to see all the people with the convention, but I'm talking about all the corporations come because of the Trump factor. You know what? You know, there are some companies who don't want to be around Trump because it brings them bad things. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at over the past couple of years on Twitter or something. If you've been associated with Trump, sometimes you see opposition come out, right?
Yeah.
So there will be some companies who won't send as many people or won't be as active just because of that, because he has a lot of that kind of with him.
Yeah. Are you hearing anything on the smaller business front, the printers, the designers,
some
the
of
sign
all,
makers?
It's
is
all
that being
starting to
flushed
come
out?
We saw our first big thing a week ago with a transportation contract, went to a national firm, but a number of local firms are involved. Come on, Jeff. If you own a shuttle, if you own a car like you and I do, we should be Ubering that week because there's going to be a ton of that. So that one's out there. We're expecting soon to have the insurance contract, to also have the construction contract. Again, we'll likely end up in national firms, but with local firms involved. And then after that, it's going to be everything from events to graphics to the printing, to chairs, to tables, to all that kind of stuff. I think that all happens in the next few weeks because all these events are going to get planned.
Yeah, and that's just it. I think people are also waiting for the entire agenda to come out. Who are the possible speakers?
Yep.
What's going to come around it? Not only you know who the nominee is going to be, but they want to see the full agenda before they make their commitments.
And then I also think we have to figure out the security zone in terms of, you know, we've seen the outline of security zone. We haven't seen the hard zone yet. Who's in the hard zone? Which hotels are in the hard zone? Which restaurants are in the hard zone? Because, I mean, if you're holding an event, you don't want to have that event in the hard zone, right? Because if you want people from outside to come in. You know, the other thing that's fascinating to me, and I think we talked about this a little bit of a week ago, is what it means for others in Milwaukee and kind of will they have this fair they're talking about, whether it's kind of highlighting our local businesses. You know, having a fair outside the security zone, obviously, but near the convention hall of just all the local stuff in Milwaukee. Think how cool that would be to have our breweries, to have our small retailers, to have these companies showing off their ware to all these people from throughout the country.
Yeah, and not like it's a contest, but you look like, you know, you compare Milwaukee and Chicago. Milwaukee's going to be much more walkable because
right.
in Chicago, you're going to have the conference at the United Center and the McCormick Place.
Right.
That's a large distance.
Right.
Whereas here, people are coming from all over. But once you're downtown, you're going to be able to walk all around, and that's going to be good for all the businesses.
That's great. When you think about it, you can get from, you know, from the convention hall to the market in the Third Ward what, 8 or 10 minutes walk?
Yeah.
I mean, if that. So, I mean, the ability to walk throughout the area is great, and I think will help our businesses from that. I mean, obviously in Chicago, the key is, though, you got to ride that. You have to ride the hour in, of course. But
yeah,
that's okay. You can enjoy the scenery.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
It's beautiful coming in from Sheboygan in the morning.
All right. I want to pivot a little bit from the hardball of politics to the hardball of pickleball.
Yes.
What's going on in pickleball in Brookfield? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing Business Headlines with the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, Mark Cass. Mark joins us again on this beautiful Wednesday. So 2 summers ago, Mark, I had a conversation with a local real estate professional in the area, and he was looking for suggestions for a national pickleball client. And this was like 2.5 years ago. I'm like, so we brainstormed with several ideas and options. And I remember he was really locked in on the Lake Country Brookfield area for his client.
Yep.
And there were a few pickleball companies on the national level looking at the area. And one of them, Pickleball Kingdom, has kind of made a little bit of a pivot in terms of where it was locked in.
They still told us later in the day that it still is an option out in Brookfield, but not as likely. So somewhere in Brookfield, 16-court facility indoors, which would be the first one that I'm aware of in the area just for that sport. There are people who have indoor courts like here at the Avenue and other places, but there's nothing that I'm aware of that's just for that sport.
Yeah.
And it's going crazy throughout the country. I mean, it is huge. I was in Arizona in February, and I actually stayed at a resort where they had 18 courts, and they were filled every day, all day. Just crazy, the people involved. And as you know, I play every week. I'm a huge pickleball player, and it's a growing sport. So I could see this happening out in Brookfield. I could see one happening on the North Shore. I could see one happening further west in Brookfield, like in the Oconomowoc area. There's a lot of courts, outdoor courts out there. This has become a thing right now, and I think you'll see this businesses trying to figure out how to make money off of it. You know, for years we were doing indoor tennis courts.
Yeah.
You don't hear that as much anymore. You see them kind of as mixed use. So as they look
they're converting the tennis courts to pickleball courts.
No doubt. But so I think you'll see more of that. This is just a trend right now, and it's a sport that's exploding because everybody of all ages can play, and it's just an ability to be outside or be indoors and have some fun. And it, you know, I think it's just good. I think you'll see, I'd say within a year or two, you'll see at least maybe 2 or 3 full service these things in the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm. So Arizona-based Pickleball Kingdom,
correct,
they had a spot at the
former
Ruby Isle in Brookfield, and that was kind of their
anticipated first
location. Yep. But the challenge with these is you need 30 or 40,000 square feet.
Yes.
You need the high ceilings, you need windows, you need a level ground. So what are some of the other spaces?
Yeah, I think
like closed grocery stores?
Or former malls.
Think about Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, think about the malls in the region and kind of what's happened out at Brookfield Square, what's happened down at Southridge. There's a lot of these large retailer spaces that are open, and I think they're going to see them. And then kind of you look across the country. I was in Orlando in January, and I saw a couple of these, and they were in those former large stores. So I think if you look throughout the area and kind of see where those are, there's some in Brookfield, there's some on the south side in Greendale around Southridge Mall. On the north side, you obviously have the former Northridge area, but other things up in that, you know, you could do a large warehouse, you know, up in that area.
Yeah.
So I think I would not be shocked to see 2 to 3 open in the next year in the Milwaukee area.
Pickle Mall Inc. is another one.
Pickle Mall, I like that.
Yeah, Mall.
You know, but no shopping. We're just going to play pickleball.
That's
We're
right.
Not
just
shop.
Get rid of the mall. We're just going to play the sport. I pulled a bunch of names of similar pickleball concepts in the country.
I like it.
Dill Dinkers, Bangers and Dinks, Crush Yard, Pickle House, H-A-U-S, Pickle Ballers.
All right.
Game Changers is a big Chicago-based one that actually opened in a former roller rink, too.
Okay, which
so
makes
that's
sense.
Another venue that really could make sense for these type of pickleball concepts. So we'll keep an eye on it. I think, you know, you're going to see something in Racine, Metuan, again, they're going to find a way to make a Brookfield location happen.
There is no doubt because of the interest in the sport and the money out in those areas. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
All right. So from pickleball in Brookfield to Art City 360 in New Berlin, I want to talk a little bit about that in terms of what you know. Sean Ryan, who's also departing the Business Journal, correct? All the best to Sean. He was here on the show, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
and he's heading to the city of Racine to work in PR there. Yeah. So that'll be good for us in the media to have a friend there for sure.
It's a big loss. Sean was a fantastic reporter, somebody that I really treasured as an employee, and I'm going to miss him. But he's going on to he'll do great things.
Yeah. So he had a good story this week about Air City 360 in New Berlin. What can you tell us about that?
Well, those of us think about this is the Stone Fire location out there that everybody remembers. So that kind of environment, but more kind of adult games, adult rides. Again, the whole idea now that it's just, I'm not going to eat at a restaurant. I want an experience. It's the same thing about shopping malls. I don't want to shop anymore. I want an experience. I want to go out in Brookfield to the Whirly Ball. I want to go to a movie. So this is about an experience, something that's worked well. You know, think about it in the old days for kids. Where do we all go with our kids? Chuck E. Cheese's, right?
Right.
Well, this is Chuck E. Cheese's for adults. Maybe with some beer. Or maybe there was beer at Chuck E. Cheese's. I don't remember. But it's just that fun environment, interactive experience thing that you've seen work. I think you see it right down here with the new Hashend. Over near the arena. Yeah. It's not just about eating anymore. It's about an experience. So you go there more often. Think about the restaurants.
We'll talk a little bit more about our Air City 360. Welcome back to The Upswing. Mark Cass, the editor-in-chief at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us today. From the 920 on the WTMJ Talk and Text line, which is 855-616-1620. From the 920, a fan reminds us that Pickles and Bags is one of the big pickleball outlets in Oshkosh.
So, what do you think? You and I can come up with a name and start a company? I'm all in pickleball. If you come in with a name.
There's one court right out here.
There's two courts right over here. Okay. We can go down there. I can show you how to play. Have you ever played, Jeff?
I got for Christmas. Okay. My sister-in-law gave me paddles and the full outlet and attire. So I just need a space.
What's the outfit?
I'm a full gear shorts. I'm going all in. I played 4 years of varsity tennis.
Okay.
So I'm ready.
Okay.
And as Vince Vitrano will tell you, we played pickleball way back in high school in Tulsa.
Vince claims that. I'm not quite sure he did. Based on his current ability,
Athletic director Vitrano was on the pickleball trend years ago. So if you're from Tulsa, how to play pickleball. Yeah, don't invite me to your game because I'm going to be good.
I've seen Vince play. I can't tell he played 20 years ago. I'm just saying. So if you're anything like him, I'm not worried at all.
All right. The gauntlet is thrown. So Deborah Dentman, who is expanding her Air City 360 entertainment empire to New Berlin this fall. She has roots in Wisconsin before getting into the entertainment business. She was a real estate investor, and then she opened up in Colorado Springs and now wants to come to New Berlin. This is a big entertainment center. We're talking 60-foot dual zip lines, a jump zone, 26-foot tall climbing towers, trampolines.
This is
another big activity.
Yeah, think about what we talked about actually a couple months ago about what's going on out in Wauwatosa, where they're doing like a trampoline park. And there was so much. That actually is one of the number one stories on our site for the year. Because there's so much. It's called Slick City out in Tulsa. So these adult, again, kind of play areas are fun for people because, and you've seen them with the bars, the people who go play, shuffleboard, or they play or the axe throwing bars, again, entertainment rather than just sitting around it's just another way to have you there.
Yeah. Well, it all speaks to recruitment and retention. And, we'll go to Madison for our next story.
Yeah.
The greater Madison area, you look at the next wave of really recruitment, retention, creative ideas. You got to look at Epic Systems.
That's an understatement. Yes.
I mean, I don't think people truly understand the size and scale of Epic. When you look at Epic, you have 10,000 employees. You have $4.6 billion in revenue. It's one of the top 150 largest private companies in the country.
Yeah.
And now they have approval from the city of Verona to look at a new site plan, which is going to have Hobbit-inspired cafeteria.
There you go.
Nirvana.
Isn't that the same thing you guys have here at Good Karma, right?
Right.
Yeah, Hobbit inspired.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, unlimited snacks.
That's right.
Harry Potter, Wizard of Oz. But it's all designed for creativity, teamwork, innovation,
yeah.
and to recruit and retain, because it's so important.
Have you ever, have you ever seen the campus? It's just...
I've driven past it. Okay. I haven't taken the tour. I really want to.
I mean, I haven't been inside. I've driven around it up there. I've been up in Madison a number of times, and you're like, holy cow, this is really cool. I mean, it's a castle in the underground kind of with the movie theater. I mean, it just makes you want to work. And one of the things that's talked about in our story is that they're all required in the office. It's not a virtual company. It's an in-the-office company, and they want that interaction, and they want a camaraderie. And you're seeing it, I think as employers get more employees in the office and really want them there and want them to interact, you're seeing more creativity. You know, kind of remember the days of ping pong and, you know, hockey, you know, all the stuff they'd have in the office. I think you're seeing a little bit of that come back. Just because they want to entertain you in the office. They want to make it fun to come to work. They want, you know, there was free food, yeah. which always works, you know, and things like that. So I think employers have to be creative because, come on, I mean, a lot of people loved working at home for those couple of years. So to have them stay in the office and to be interactive and think, I mean, is very important to companies.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they have a working farm. They have the treehouse conference rooms. There's buildings inspired again by the Wizard of Oz.
The same things I've seen here at Good Karma. I'm just saying.
They have to kind of take it to the next level because they want to recruit and retain the very yes. best talent. All right. Coming up next, well, I want to talk about the Third Ward Group. And it's, you know, kind of a little bit of opposition to what's happening at 794. We'll talk about condo developments in downtown Milwaukee and a few other things with Mark Cass, the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We're back. This is The Upswing, a beautiful Wednesday here in the heart of the state, downtown Milwaukee, with editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, Mark Cass. So I always say that fear of the unknown shouldn't block progress. And I think I'm right with that.
I would think
with
I'd
that
say
general
yep.
sentiment,
I'd say
correct?
Right. Yep.
Members of the Historic Third Ward Association are a little bit worried that removing Interstate 794 would signal the end of their designs to widen the sidewalks on Water Street because it reduces the number of driving lanes yep. and just kind of takes away from the aesthetic and the walkability.
Right.
And that justifiably that's a concern.
Right.
What I know, there was a Greater Milwaukee Committee meeting around I-94 or 794 on Monday.
Yep.
So what are you hearing in terms of compromise?
This is an interesting one because you have strong supporters of this. People who just want it down, who talk about change, who talk about initiative, who talk about what happened on the north side of downtown, obviously with the Park East. And then you have opponents not nearly as vocal, who are just concerned about traffic impact, concerned about the port, who are concerned about access, getting in and out of the city quickly. So there's two sides. And, you know, I've asked the question at events I've moderated and I've hosted, is there a compromise? And some of them say, no, it's either you got to take it all down or take none down. Now, there are others, Jeff, who have said, is there a way to remove a number of the ramps, the on-off ramps, and do some sort of redevelopment under the freeway to allow, and you started to see it around the market where they have, you know, we talked about earlier, they have pickleball courts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do the new, the brewery across the river with the park. You know, so there's ways to do some things there. Is there more opportunities there? I don't know. I mean, that's to me interesting, but then you'll hear the supporters say, you got to do it all because of change. Look at, you know, I mean, if you didn't knock it all down on the north side, you wouldn't have the FISA forum, would you?
Exactly. Right.
So there is that argument. It'd be fascinating. It's all going to come to a head here soon, probably by fall. You know, we'll see a recommended alternative out of the state.
Okay.
And then you could see this start 25, 26. I think there's going to be a lot more discussions. There's a lot of companies who have stayed quiet on this just because of the very strong yeah. of the individuals in support who are concerned about employee access. You know, how do we get our employees in and out? I mean, the Third Ward case is interesting because with the Heinz project, which is being built right along the river, they're actually narrowing down Water Street there to slow down traffic. So it's only going to be one lane in each direction, and then they're going to have wider sidewalks. And the thing about that throughout Third Ward, well, all of a sudden, if you add a lot more cars, you're going to have some traffic nightmares down there, right? So how do you deal with that? And then how do you also handle the things over the river, you know, in terms of the bridges? How do you handle that? So I think all that has to be worked out. Is there a compromise? I hope so.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or do we just kind of swing, you know, take a big swing? But is that, our way. I mean, I could tell you the reason it happened 20 years ago is because of a mayor who really wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to be open to all the possibilities.
Right. Change is not
bad. Reality is there's going to be change that comes along with it. I don't think any of these groups have taken official stances, so we got to wait and see how it all shakes out.
Interesting when you hear them talk about kind of one of the things is getting people in and out of downtown. Should we make it easier for you not to drive through downtown?
Yes. All right. When we come back, our last block with Editor-in-Chief Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal plans for what could have been the first major downtown Milwaukee condo project have been taken off the shelf. So I want to talk about condo development in downtown Milwaukee. And tomorrow, the L line for the Milwaukee streetcar officially opens, going all the way down to the Milwaukee's lakefront. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by Mark Cass, Editor-in-Chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. So, Mark, condos don't seem to be the cure for more housing in Milwaukee, do they?
No condos. Actually, no new one has been built since 2018 in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Think about that. And, you know, I own a downtown condo. Yep. And when I tried to buy it, you know this. You're in the
We own two condos, you know, yeah.
I mean, it's tough to find condos. And that's why they're at the prices they're at, which is good. On the other hand, the options aren't there. They're all apartments. Everybody wants apartments. Everybody wants to build apartments just because it's easier to control the cost. It's easier to get long-term revenue. When you build a condo, you get paid once. When you open an apartment, you get paid every month. And, of course, you get to raise the rent every year. So there's a way to have that continued revenue. And condos, for whatever reason, have not. And I don't see anything new in the near future. So for those of us who own condos, it's good because when we sell, like in our building, any condo that goes up, it's usually at 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, it's sold. But on the other hand, if you want a condo, it's not easy to find.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think, though, could it be replaced by similar condo units like townhomes, or are those like that ranch-style duplex condos?
That's
downtown. Suburban style. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You've seen those up in River Hills. We've seen those in Greenfield, Oak Creek, Franklin. You've seen those condos. Well, there are new condos being built, just not right in the heart of the city. I mean, you got to go out to the suburbs to get the condos. So, no, it's apartments right now. It's high-end apartments. You got, obviously, with the Couture opening this month, you got Hines opening in a couple weeks. You got the Ascent. You got Nova. You got the new one being soon to be built along the river near the Marcus Center. So there's just apartments everywhere. Now, I've said it, and I've said it over again. At some point, that's got to change because we're not growing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are individuals like us who have moved back downtown, but not enough to fill all these buildings.
Well, and the economic realities for developers is there's just not enough margin to build, correct?
Correct.
So
condos,
they're going to go to the apartments because it's going to make them more money.
And in the end, that's what matters.
Yeah.
And so, I do not see new condos for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue to build the apartments and we'll continue to do our best as we meet the need for the mayor's 1 million mark, because we're going to need more housing to get more people to live in downtown Milwaukee.
And of course, they can ride the hop, which we're not talking about.
That's right. Well, very much so. And you know, back to the RNC discussion, the good thing about the expansion of the streetcar, now truly you can take the Hiawatha from Chicago, jump off, hop off at the intermodal station, get on the streetcar and take it all the way to the lakefront beginning tomorrow. 7 days a week tomorrow.
And you get to the art museum and you get to the grounds of Summerfest. So that's a good step. You know, I mean, I've been saying since it started, Jeff, and you guys heard me say this, we have to expand it. I mean, the first route was great. It's a good start, but it's not enough. It's not a system. It was a route. Now we're finally starting to add a system. You know, we're adding a route to the lakefront. Again, small step, but very important because in the summertime, think of all the people who go down there for the fireworks, go down there for the festivals, who go to the art museum. Great thing. But I will contend again, you got to add more routes. You got to get from the intermodal up to the convention center. You got to get from the convention center up to the arena and then north into the neighborhoods. Then you got to go south through the Third Ward into Walker's Point. Now, I have a dream, which I'm sure you do, and that would be from the intermodal station through the Menominee Valley out to AmFam Field.
Yeah.
Think how great that would be, even for those fans from Chicago who come up for the Cubs game, to come up on Hiawatha, hop on the hop out to the stadium.
Yeah.
Spending money the entire way, right?
Getting it to prominent venues is definitely important.
And how many cities have you gone to where you get it at the airport?
Yeah.
and you can ride it into the kind of downtown. That's important.
Right in downtown Minneapolis, you can take the streetcar right to the ballpark,
yeah.
Jump off, and there you are for the Twins game. Yeah. It's super convenient.
So I think this is a step, a small step, but it's an important step because it's visual. It shows expansion. So what's next?
All right. Very good. Well, next Wednesday, I look forward to our discussion with your new entity, Lammy Sports. We're going to talk about the event that's coming up April 20th, which
Correct.
Will Wisconsin be a Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yep.
Who's going into the hall
that day? It's going to be just a small-time guy named Steve Stricker. He plays a little golf.
All right.
Nice. Plays a little golf.
Okay.
Matt Kenseth, just to get a small NASCAR racer done pretty well. And then Prince Fielder, for those of us who are old enough, and I don't think you have to be that old to remember his impact on the Brewers with Ricky Weeks and Ryan Braun, kind of that whole run. So, I mean, the three of them, great night, a lot of fun. There's still a few seats available, so just kind of reach out. But it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be kind of the first night I'm there and involved, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Very good. Thanks for joining today.